call this meeting to order at 8:42. Thank you everybody for being here, and happy Doctor's Day. It's National Doctor's Day today. We didn't intentionally have a meeting on Doctor's Day, but that was a good thing I'd like to pass on our desk. We'll be pre-handling. This is the Arizona Board of Osteopathic Examiners and Medicine Surgery. This meeting is being held in person and virtually at 1740 West Adams Street, 2410 Phoenix, Arizona, 852307. I think I have to say what the board meeting room is called.
Boardroom A.
Boardroom A. Okay. I'm happy to get that out of the way. Thank you very much. So for the start of our agenda, we get a roll call, Ms. Ball?
Yes. Mr. Bird is absent. Dr. Oda is absent. Dr. Walker?
Here.
Dr. Erfusser?
Present.
Mr. Goodman? Present. Dr. Shabbat?
Present.
Dr. Mann?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you very much. So for item 3, I'd like to welcome the medical students at Midwestern University, Arizona College of Osteopathic Medicine, AT Still University, Kirksville College of Osteopathic Medicine, and the AT Still University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Arizona. We're happy to have our students here. I assume we have students here since I can't see them.
Yes,
we do have them. So please pay attention. We don't have a long agenda, but there's always something to learn. And there will be a quiz at the end. I think Dr. Chicago now gets a quiz at the end. Is that right? It'll be if any member of the public who is not a student, licensee, or applicant, or plaintiff wishes to address the board on a matter that appears on the agenda, and you will be asked to speak directly to the public. If you want to address the board on an issue not on the agenda, you will be asked to speak directly to the public, all those wishing to speak, as you contact the board member staff, board staff, at this time. Mr. Bohol, do we have any, ready for the call to the public?
No, it's not been
good. Very much. Item 4, minutes. So for our December, general minutes, I believe we have a forum for voting for that.
That's correct.
Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Don't move.
I'll second, Dr. Walker.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
December 2nd, I should say 2023 executive session. I also have a form to do those things. Do I have a motion?
Don't move.
Thank you. Do I
have
a second?
Second.
Motion in a second, I appreciate that. Any discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
And for the January 26, 2024 open session, do I have a form for voting for that?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, yes, sure. Awesome. So do I have a motion to approve?
So moved, Dr. Walker.
Dr. Walker, do I have a second? I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any opposed? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for getting that for the agenda, everybody. For the next subject, I'd like to move on to item 7, client's review. If I can Dr. Chabon, I need to recuse myself for this case. Dr. Chabon, I hand the gavel to the PQ. Thank you.
I'd like to call case CO-21-015A. Dr. Howard Robinson, DO, for what I'm asking. Is the legacy president or question?
Dr. Owens has 7 minutes.
Can we have a review of the case?
I'll provide you with it. Testimony. Oh, okay. Hold on just one moment. Let me make sure I'm on the end of the session.
Some agenda item eight.
This is a case number DO210151A, Howard Robinson Doe. At its January 2025 meeting following the investigative hearing, the board voted to issue an interim order requiring Dr. Robinson to complete a case evaluation for substance abuse disorders patent subspecialty and review of medical records. The evaluation is to be scheduled within 30 days, including 4 days, 6 months. Staff notes as of March 23rd, 2024, Dr. Robinson has not informed the board that the evaluation has been scheduled and has requested the hearing. The matter has been brought before the board for its consideration for an additional allegation of ARS 32-18-4-25 by the making formal order, probation, or stipulation issued by the board under this chapter. The board may decide if they'd like to direct staff to look at the complaint and move that to make a formal hearing with the Office of Administrative Hearings.
Thank you. Does any board members have any questions of us? Anyone, any staff members want to add any information?
We have nothing to add. Thank you.
And then we have confirmed that Dr. Robertson is not on the line. Okay. So with that, I'd like to move that the petition shall comply with the board in an order pursuant to ARS 32-1854, section 25, and make a motion to direct the board staff to open a new complaint for noncompliance and refer the case for formal hearing with the Office of Administrative Hearings with case DO-21-015A. That would be the motion. Do I have a second for that?
I'll second.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please have a roll call here.
Okay. I will do a roll call. Dr. Erfus.
Is that me? I'm having a hard time hearing. So, yes, it is. Yes.
Thank you, Dr. Professor. Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Goodman?
Yes.
Dr. Shipman?
Yes.
And Dr. Goodman.
That motion carries, and we'll resume and get that fear and made a message. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Fawn.
Thank you.
Very much, Dr. Schwab. If we could move back to item number 5, DO-21-0164, view discretion and action traffic as we did it here. So, QRS 33.65E.
Mr. Bohol, do I have permission to go ahead and leave now?
Yes, Dr. Fisher, thank you so much.
And thank you, Dr. Madam. You guys have a great day, okay?
Dr. Erbschausser, don't stand up yet. Hold on. We'd just like to take a moment. I think this is the last meeting you're going to have. Is that correct, Mr.
Erbschausser? You can continue to serve after his appointment expires, but this would be his last official meeting.
It would be early. The last official meeting after 10 years, so I'd just like to take a moment to say thank you very much for the time and service.
Thank you. Really do appreciate it. It was fun. It was a hard. There's a lot of very surprising, great way to learn about medicine in a different way. So I just want to say thank you to all. Thank you for the staff. I'll stop by before a meeting one day when you guys are back in session. Just say hi and we'll go from there. So I appreciate everything. God bless you all. Okay. Thank you.
Morning.
Thank you, Dr.
All right. If you email the agenda to go on,
I'm not seeing you guys, which I... Yes.
Do you swear I'm the counselor for you to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
The complaint in this case is patient CC. The patient stated that she was a patient about several years. She was scheduled to have an MRI that was ordered by a orthopedic QA in August of 2021. She called Dr. Medina's office for a sedative for the MRI. Dr. Medina's office informed her she would need to receive the sedative from the ordering physician. The PA at Ford Institute did not feel comfortable prescribing a sedative for her because the patient was already on Sertraline. She advised her to contact her primary care physician. The patient contacted Dr. Medina's office again through the portal and by phone. She became very upset because her messages in the portal were not returned. The patient ended up having to cancel her MRI because she could not obtain a sedative. She messaged in the portal that she was very disappointed in meeting up at their office and that she would be looking for a new physician. She stated that she still had one appointment remaining with Dr. Medina in January of 2020, so she was shocked when she received notice from CVS Pharmacy in November of 2021 that her prescription for diabetic medication was not being refilled by Dr. Medina. She states the office had informed the pharmacy that she was no longer a patient of Dr. Medina. The patient stated that she never received any kind of notice from Dr. Medina's office that she had been discharged, and that she had another appointment with a new provider that not until March of 2022, which left her without diabetic medication. In Dr. Medina's board response, she states that when the patient's advised that she would be looking for a new physician, she asked her staff to mark the patient's chart as inactive, and she states that refills were denied because per office policy, inactive patients are no longer under the prescriber's care. I thought that Dr. Medina may have fallen below the standard of care in that she failed to notify the patient of her discharge from the practice and failed to notify to follow up with and prescribe ongoing medications to a current patient with diabetes.
Thank you very much, Dr. Brock. Mr. Bolholm, is the complaint here?
The complaint is not second.
Thank you, Dr. Bolholm. Dr. Medina, do you mind telling us a little bit about yourself and your practice?
Yes, I'm one of the owners at the Maxwell Group, which has been in practice for approximately 40 years, an internal medicine office in Sun City, Arizona. And their policy and procedures have been in place for that long. And when I joined the group in 2017 and then became a partner in 2019, I continued to adhere to the way they had been practicing their policies as this has been working for the last 40 years as a private practice.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Can you tell us about this case?
Yes. First of all, it's unmerited, unwarranted, and in my opinion, not below standard of care. Even as of 2 days ago, my office manager got a request from a patient or told a patient said that I'm leaving the practice, and immediately that the office manager marked that chart inactive. we have multiple patients at all giving times that are snowbirds that leave, they go to nursing homes, they move in with their parents, wherever. And if they say they're leaving the practice, we do not give a discharge because we did not fire them. There, we do have discharge notices for people who are no-shows and who are non-compliant or are rude. And we send them a notice saying we are discharging you. When patients are leaving us, we do not send additional paperwork. The volume would not adhere to that, and that has not been our policy and procedures. Number two is when the patient claims that she got no response, if you read the chart correctly, she made an email on a web encounter on 8/13 on a Friday at 11:38, and my medical assistant responded on 8/13 at 1:58. Then when she called back or left a second portal message on 8/17 at 1:05, that I got the correspondence on 8/18. She had made a second email to say she was leaving the practice. So on 8/19, I timestamped it and noted that. So we did respond. And we always have respond. If you go through her entire chart, she has many, many, many web portals. And within less than 24 hours, I can go from the time she was seen back in the last appointment in June. And she did not comply with any of the recommendations I made for the shoulder pain as it was. She did back in April when she was seen for this shoulder. So when she was requesting for the neck MRI again, my MAs have protocol. We're not giving narcotics. We're not giving benzodiazepine. So they're adhering to how we have, standard of care. So to say that I'm falling below standard of care, had the patient called the office and said, I have not found I would, of course, bridge them. I would never abandon a patient. This was 6 months after the fact. And the patient was upset that she didn't get what she wanted from the orthopedic. I'm sitting with my charts. I have another lady who I sent to orthopedic for chronic pain stuff. They gave her tramadol. She's asking me, can I have something else? Because it's not helping. I just saw the specialist yesterday. I find it very appalling that this is considered standard of care, below standard of care, that I don't give patients what they want, a benzo and pain meds, and that having their complaint, regardless of this hearing, on my record for 5 years. Then what's the point of me even explaining any of this?
I'm talking to you. Give me just a moment here. I'm going to try to get you back on course and help me out here. So the current concerns are, as far as continuity of care, follow-up, and communication, not about describing a set of medications for MRI scales order. I certainly agree that's a controversial subject, and I think we can leave that off the top of time. So maybe I did ask you to get back in course here. Do you believe your follow-up prevention is appropriate and your closure of the chart was appropriate as well as your communication with patients during this time frame that the medication and MRI follow-up is requested and afterwards?
Yes.
And I apologize to interrupt you, but do you have any details on that?
I just have a question on this hearing. It looks like you guys have two sets of type of hearings, and I want to clarify that I'm understanding if this is considered a – give me 1 minute because I wrote all kinds of notes, and I don't know where it is now.
Okay.
Is this considered a case review or an investigative hearing?
It's an investigative hearing.
And then from my understanding, when I read the paperwork that was sent to me, the disposition of the case, it says, if no merit or dismissed, it's still public record for 5 years of the complaint. Is this correct?
Yes. Mr. Boha as far as his being reported that he's been in front of the investigative hearing. I believe that's correct. Is that true?
Yes. The meeting itself is public record, but the complaint is still confidential. It is not being contained in the complaint or confidential. The only thing that's public record is the dismissal letter.
That's a good question.
Okay, but if I were to go leave my practice as an owner, go do a locum's job, and they say we're any board complaints, whatever, I have to now state this for the next 5 years. Is this correct?
That is legal advice, and we're not able to provide legal advice.
I'm sorry?
That would be providing legal advice, and board staff do not provide legal advice to the doctor's attorney. What I can tell you is that from the moment a complaint is filed, that we consider that a complaint all the way through the adjudication process.
So, I mean, again, I'm not sitting on the board, I'm not a lawyer, but do you guys realize, are all of you guys practicing doctors?
We have a public members as well as physicians, correct.
Do you realize, because do you know how many complaints I get in a month's time when I don't do what all these people want? There's probably not a month that goes by, so this can continue to occur and affect my board status?
Dr. Medina, let's get back to the case.
Okay.
That is a great question, but not an ask the question for this is ready.
Dr. Medina, I have a question for you. You said that, public member, I am not a doctor, but I am a board member here. Dr. Medina, thank you for taking the time. You mentioned that the practice, the procedure that you guys follow is that if someone says that they're quitting the practice, you may remark that in the chart and consider them inactive or no longer a patient. Is there any sort of follow-up or confirmation for that? Because in our notes, it says she says she's going to start looking for a new doctor. That's different than I'm leaving my current doctor.
Okay. She also states...
Let's not look at her chart specifically,
but
your practice
policy. Because she stated she understood if... Wait. She stated she understood what my MA said.
I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you a question. Give
him
a moment to
clarify.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Needham. Dr. Needham, so generally, when someone says that, is there an affirmative response that you get from them acknowledging that they are
No. We have people leave all the time. They move from California back to us, back to West. If we spent all the time confirming everybody who states that they're leaving, did they leave, we wouldn't be able to practice medicine. We get over 200 new patients a month. Our overhead, no, we don't do a confirmation on that. But like I said to you, if a patient did not have another rendering provider, every one of us would do a courtesy refill if that patient needed it.
But
this is just based on
that
protocol.
If you're not doing that follow-up question to confirm that they're putting in practice, then how do you know whether they have a rendering provider?
We don't know if they have a new provider.
So that falls on the patient then to try to get that bridge prescription that you're talking about.
She was seen by me on August. This request was in November. She had 3 months. This was not like the week later. So yes, I guess it does fall on them. Many patients will call and say, hey, I didn't get into a new doctor yet. And we give them a prescription. Her chart is marked inactive. My MAs go through thousands of emails a day on refills. We're not going to start now doing more paperwork to protect our rights of patients who choose to leave.
It's hard for me to be sympathetic to that. So I'm an attorney, and in my practice, we can't just take a client.
You also get a bill every time you're on the phone.
So back to you. It's hard for me to imagine that other people in your practice receive as many complaints if this is your behavior. So if you please just dial back a little bit, because right now it's hard for me, at least, I can't speak for the other members, but to be persuaded that maybe some of this isn't merited.
Okay.
So, to confirm, the practice is not to confirm with people who threaten to leave, it's just to assume that they have left.
No, we do not have a confirmatory call, or email, or paperwork.
Or even a follow-up question on the phone?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions to the board?
May I make a comment, please?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Thank you. Dr. Medina, I appreciate the concern and the frustration that you have, and I also want to explain to Dr. or Mr. Goodman, excuse me, I'm family practice, and we do, in my practice, we have this issue weekly, if not daily. You know, somebody gets frustrated at the clinic, or they're snowbirds, and they'll say to a staff member, well, I'm getting a new doctor. Now, maybe it's in spite, maybe it's just because I'm leaving. So there's... the way we've learned to manage it to help avoid this conflict of misunderstanding is if a patient, let's say it is with contention, they're angry, which sounds like that was the case. What our providers have been trained to do is write a discharge letter. Because one, we don't want this patient back. And two, it allows for this misunderstanding to be prevented. And then if somebody is just kind and says, hey, I'm moving to Alaska and I'm going to get a new primary care, we don't officially discharge them until the medical records release is received. So at that time, we know that that care has been done. So the point to my comment, Dr. Medina, I think what I would advise or consider is, you know, in the future, a simple discharge letter would have prevented this kind of misunderstanding. May not have prevented the continued anger or the board complaint, but at least it would have been one more level of protection for you to be able to tell this patient or to tell us that this patient was well aware that she was discharged.
Can I ask you a follow-up question after that? Thank you very much. That was a perfect comment. I appreciate it. Project primary care, she was both outside of my space that put in that letter of separation because the critical birthday medication retail end date on that. Let's know any more details. Give me your back.
I couldn't hear him well enough to hear what he said.
So the question to Dr. Walker is, in your practice, do you typically put in the stop date on retail implementation appointments by the separation letter?
Yes, so I apologize. I didn't hear the question. I didn't realize it was directed to me. But with that discharge letter, it would say we provide emergency services for 30 days. And so, and we typically list out, you know, here are your chronic conditions. You must follow up and get a new primary care. And we would make sure that they would have access to their chronic medications for those 30 days, not for something where, oh, by, you know, maybe they broke their leg in 15 days and they haven't established with a new PCP and they need an ER follow-up. That might be something we would go to because they're in that 30-day window, but never where they'd say, hey, I'm getting an MRI and I want, you know, some kind of controlled substance.
Perfect.
Just their chronic medications routinely.
Thank you. Dr. Shabon, I'm sorry, you had a question also?
And thank you, Dr. Walker, and thank you, Dr. Medina, for being here. And just to clarify, Dr. Medina had clarified before, but I don't think the issue is with the medication for the MRI. I think we all understand that that was controversial and whether or not you were going to prescribe medication for sedation is certainly up to you, and I don't think that's any violation of any sort of any standard of care. So the issue that we're discussing, I believe, is the refill of the diabetic medication that the patient had to receive at the pharmacy, subsequent to the inactive charge. So that's what we're trying to determine. And the question I have is, I see in the records that there was a follow-up on February 3rd, 2022. Is that scheduled as a follow-up?
I can't tell. I can't tell in the chart who I tried to figure this out this morning. I can't tell if that was canceled this, when they marked the chart inactive, or if it just didn't get canceled. Usually the staff will, the administrative, my secretaries up front or manager will cancel any forthcoming appointments at that time when patients leave. But I don't see that on this, because for whatever reason, I'm feeling like I have a time stamp, but I don't know why. So I don't know if it was left there. I can't tell on this. But usually the protocol is we cancel any forward appointments as long as there wasn't anything outstanding, labs or, or anything like that.
But when you make a, certainly when you discharge a patient, but also when you make a chart entry, you would cancel the appointments as well? Okay.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Is it your private policy that to, like, would a staff member notify the patient if their appointment is canceled then, or is it just canceled and they don't get a reminder call? Or?
Our patients, they have their 3 months, 6 months, 9 months annuals that are scheduled out. So, in our discharge letters, it does not state is even when we do to find another rendering provider, we would not list all of their chronic problem lists because they have 30 problems. It just would be, and we don't say you had appointment on February, March, April, May. No, we don't. We do not. We do not have that in our practice.
Is it reasonable that she said the patient, even though she had that, the outburst on the phone call and over the MRI, that's reasonable that she thought that she had an appointment on February 3rd, 2022 after the chart was marked inactive, that she still thought that she had an upcoming appointment?
From a legal standpoint, I guess you can say anything is reasonable, but when the patient was very adamant that she was not happy with the care and would be finding another doctor, and when we told her, are you understanding if you need anything else to call back, she canceled this MRI before she even, I know we're going back to the other medicine, before we even got a chance to try to help her, but it wasn't even due till the next week. The lady was obviously upset and not coming back to me. When we didn't give her what she wanted, that's where the bottom line of all this is. And so when she didn't get her med refill, this isn't about that I dropped the ball on her care. I mean, to have my practice, write letters like the other family practice does and list all their chronic problems and what they have to do, there's just no way we would be practicing. So, yes, it's reasonable that she would think that she has... I don't know how that's reasonable, but yes, it's always potentially reasonable if I was a lawyer. Most patients, when they say, are the patients who usually say, I'm leaving, especially if they're upset that they didn't get what they wanted, leave and try to find someone else to give them what they wanted. Yes, they leave. So I didn't even look at her fine, because as soon as I said to my manager, she's going somewhere else or looking for somewhere else, my manager does what we've done with, like I said, 2 days ago, the same exact thing.
I understand that she may be, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say,
no.
I certainly understand that with, as far as sedation meds for the MRI, that she was frustrated and maybe seeking somebody else for those types of medications. But I guess, what I'm wondering is if she's still thinking that she's going to get her maintenance medication, like for her chronic illnesses, from you until she was able to find another doctor.
I can't say what she's thinking, but I give my patients 90 days of medications at all times. When a patient leaves in August and then my staff get a request in November, that's usually enough time for them to have found another provider. all this woman had to do was call and say, hey, I still don't have another provider. Would you like me to? But of course, we don't have that in writing. And after this call, I'm going to have to talk to my partners about more paperwork that we have to do to defend ourselves against these people who want to leave, which leaves us less time to do good medical care, which I'm just so frustrated. I'm sorry, but I'm just, you know, I'm on a college tour with my daughter right now. It's holiday weekend, and this is what I'm doing over a woman who wants to leave my practice. Basically, we're going to be losing another doctor in this medical arena.
In fact, Your Honor, I apologize, and I know you definitely don't want to see you here, and we appreciate the years that you have tried this for. So we appreciate you being here.
And I very much apologize for my emotionalness about this, but it's to say that I abandoned a patient, left them out without their diabetic meds, their inhalers, their insulin, their blood pressure is ludicrous.
So, Dr. Vivian, I totally understand. I appreciate it. I keep your emotions under control. I'm sure I can feel the same way that if I were on the other side of the desk right now. And I get that. Just do your best. Try to take your deep breath, stop breathing water, to eat. Nobody wants to be in your situation. And all of us, unfortunately, have down with it. We have that condition at some point. But simply, our job is to provide our educational training and standards, and that is what we have to do the rest of the year. So please forgive us for having to do our job. It's important to do that correctly. So just bear with us, and we'll have to get through this deal and we'll have to look up to the final decision.
Thank you. It just seems like my whole entire staff and all of my five partners and the Maxwell Group of 40 years is also, you know, liable for this complaint because I didn't adhere to any different standard than what they've been doing.
These rules and regulations apply to every intern and resident physician too, so we are all under the same onus.
Well, I first just wanted to say, Dr. Walker, thank you very much for catching me up on what you do. And for Dr. Zadina's sake, as the public board member here, I don't know how doctors work generally. My job is to be a layman, and I feel that job well, I think. So I appreciate it. Anytime anybody can catch me up on what may be the standard of care, and or what, if not officially a standard of care, but what is common practice as usual. So thank you. And to Dr. Zadina, I assume you get, and every doctor in here, there's lots of paperwork that they find, at one point they found unnecessary and would really rather not do. I assume it's a large part of every doctor's practice is doing paperwork that they don't want to, but it's a CYA paperwork, right? And so I understand not wanting to do more, but to my peers' points, this is about, you know, that standard practice, and, you know, is it something that, I'm not saying it did, but is it something that felt really standard practice? If so, how can we improve it, or what can be done? It sounds like, at the very least, you've acknowledged a few things that you and your partners could do a little differently that might help avoid this situation in the future. And I think that's kind of what we're trying to get at, is how do we avoid this, and how do we make it better for you and the patients?
Okay. Dr. Lay on the aisle?
Yes, please.
Dr. Lindina, the reason that you're before the board is not because you did not refill a medication that the patient wanted or that you did not do what she wanted. It is simply because you're pointing out that the policies that are effective in your office right now are not standard of care. You, Dr. Walker, beautifully explained what is normally done in a family practice office. And it is imperative that you take a look at your office policies. And when a patient is unhappy and they're leaving because they're unhappy, it would be a great idea for you to formally discharge the patient so there is no misunderstanding about whether or not they're going to continue to be a patient in the office. That is all we're saying.
Yes, I have that. I have that written down when you guys had said it a little bit ago, because I will be bringing this to my partners at the next partner meeting.
Dr. Pratt, I'm sorry to take you off the spot, but you just need a little bit as to the responsibility of physicians for supervising their staff, the state's office staff.
Right. Well, that is another concern in that if you send a discharge letter, then there's really no question about whether or not the patient's active or inactive. The inactive status is a little bit concerning because patients still could need something from me. And, if in this case, which I'm not sure exactly what happened, but if in this case your office staff, it's how it looks. It looks like your office staff denied the refill without asking anyone. And I do not know for sure if that's what happened. But in that instance, then your office staff is basically making the decision. And I think that that's a little bit concerning as well. So I think that just to look at your office policy and make some changes that, yes, they do protect you, but they also protect the patient. Because what we're trying to make sure happens here is that the patients have the ability to get care when they need it, and they have someone to give them their ongoing medications. This woman was upset, and she said that she had an appointment, but it wasn't for a while yet, so she totally anticipated that she dealt with it to get her medication. It was a miscommunication, and that's what this formal discharge letter really fixes that problem.
Thank you very much. And Dr. Medina, please, the board here. So, from my perspective, I believe the factors include the question of responding in a timely fashion, although the two can may have been some responses. There we see concerns for earlier programs and indications, the conversation has been dismissed and has moved on to provide or obtained care elsewhere. And there's the question of follow-up, which was probably asked by the staff with the November attempt to go to CVS prescription with the patient reporting that they believe they still had a problem for the patient. Mitigating factors, there's no known patient harm in this case, and obviously there was some confusion as far as wording and patient planning.
No. No.
Do you have anything further, Dr. Medina?
No. Thank you for all trying to keep the patients and the doctors on board, and I'm my emotionalness with this. It's very hard when you give yourself day in and day out, and with knowing that patients can, you know, just the more work we continue to have to do just to stay practicing makes me continue feel that this is why we have a lack of providers. My board certification is coming up, and I probably will not want to continue medicine. So thank you again for everyone, and I will be talking to my partners about when patients leave our practice.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. I appreciate you speaking. And one thing I have to say, I really like the fact that the fact that you have a motion, it's certainly part of your math, but you also keep your very good guidance from the patient.
Thank you.
Second motion from the board.
Make a motion for a non-familiar patron. I think it should be that needs to be noticed when a patient withdraws from patient care to allow time to engage with a new provider, and the patient should provide continuity of care, which includes maintaining current medication supply.
So was it a non-disciplinary letter? Is that what you said? Or a disciplinary? I guess I didn't hear.
Non-disciplinary. I apologize. It's a microphone problem, not your problem. So I have a motion in a second. There's no discussion. Are there any opposed? All in favor of this motion?
Aye.
Again, Dr. Levine, I would not just raise doctors, we're not here to get back to practicing. We read our full standards. We really encourage you to do your job. We definitely need it. Anyone that feels that practicing is not a question of gross negligence, but it is something that could cause harm to the all our Jewish Americans. But this, as you heard, my partner, Dr. Rochefort, who mentioned, this is part of what we do to help everybody do their job and to help take care of the patients in the public. Thanks very much. I'm Fletcher, and maybe you know Mr. Bohol, who's on the next week, and we'll be able to do some more information. Mr. Bohol, will be ready to move on to item D?
Yes, we will. Item D, yes. Dr. and Dr. Simon.
Perfect. So item D, ZL23-0001A, Sunra. And I apologize, Dr. Do you have Gunia?
Gunia,
I apologize. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask you more than once, and I really appreciate that. And who's presenting this case? Please go ahead.
I'd like to swear in the release of documents once you're being able to receive their new items. Do you swear under penalty of perjury to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And we obviously have those services available to do the business.
On January 6th, 2022, the board received a self-report for the DUI for Dr. Daniel. Dr. Daniel stated she was arrested for a DUI on December 24th, 2021 in Scottsdale, Arizona, following the night of bourbon sampling with friends. Doctor stated that while driving home, she stepped in the van, causing a flat tire, and was later given a field test and transported to the police station, where breath and blood samples were collected. Dr. Daniel further states that she was then released. Dr. Dunia pled guilty to extreme DUI and was required to serve 3 days in county jail, 11 consecutive days of home detention, abstain from consuming alcohol, complete an electronic monitoring program, participate in and complete the NAD impact panel, and 36 hours of alcohol and drug education, as well as pay a fine. Board staff has confirmed that Dr. Dunia completed all requirements imposed by the Scottsdale Police Force as of July 20, 2023. Additionally, Dr. Dunia completed a voluntary, independent, comprehensive psychological evaluation, including a substance use disorder assessment in August of 2020. The evaluator concluded
those results are contained in the board's file.
Correct. The board may take action on the underlying conduct.
And Mr. Bruno, would you like to introduce your counsel? Yeah, my counsel is Flynn Carey.
Good morning, Chair Maida, members of the board. Yes, Chair Maida, members of the board. I'll speak briefly, and just for knowledge. I was underlying counsel on the DUI, so if you have any questions about that, about the court process, please let me know. I understand you do want to talk to Dr. Dunia primarily. I would just note she's been in practice since 2013, no other issues. It was a timely self-report of a DUI, and the testing that she underwent voluntarily indicated that there's nothing that the board requires any further monitoring. Just given the overall totality of the circumstances on this one, and also just the age of the case, this is a 2021 matter, we would ask the board to consider a dismissal or an LOC to resolve it. I'm certainly here to answer questions, but I do know that you want to speak a little bit more directly to the clinician, so I'll be available.
Thank you very much, in fact, I apologize. Before you do speak, we would have the option to move for a personal consultation information if you think somebody calls into that business. But I would like to say the information before we come back.
And Chair, if the board does have any questions about the evaluation or wants to talk to her more specifically about that, we would certainly be fine with executive session at the board's discretion. I think the board, Deputy Castro did a good job distilling it down for the board, but we're available in executive session at your pleasure.
Yes.
And Dr. Needham, the purpose of executive session would be for...
I had the fact that, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you. I apologize. So I would like to now make a motion to move to the executive session for personal and confidential information as well as potentially the advice.
Second.
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody. Now I regret this question. Are there any questions from the board?
No questions, but I have a comment at the end. Thank you by all accounts. It appears that you took every step that you should and really in light of the circumstances and took what could have easily just been considered a one-off and took it seriously and followed all the right steps. And so just want to thank you for that. So thank you that substance abuse is something that comes before us frequently and it affects all of us both professionally and personally. I think almost universally now. And so when people take it seriously, we greatly appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thank you guys. Thanks very much. The board, do any other board members have any questions or comments? So I'd like to echo Mr. Gibbons' response. We, unfortunately, all of you have left the math that I should have done. Also, we all make mistakes. Part of doing the right thing for us and for our patients and the safety of the public is promoting our mistakes and taking the corrective action. Things are good and not pointed out for a while. We really appreciate you addressing that. Clear and concise way, and these words admirably given them your way admirably, so I appreciate that. This is still something that may raise to a violation of consent by the public time board. So that would be a motion.
We got a big motion for a non-disciplinary letter of reason.
Like the reasons are less on the set, but we still believe
it.
So if I cite AJR 3384, chapter 39, in the context of practicing the or the public health, or the reasonably expect to do so, and I set the definition for the bond, so they might be able to. Motion in a second. Is there any further discussion? Are there any opposed? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Rooney. We really appreciate taking the time to be in front of the board here. Mr. Bohol, if you have any further information on the regulations, thank you for what you've done afterwards and that's what's worth your presentation.
Thank you.
Before you walk with it, Dr. Walker, who are you going to be talking about spine structure for?
Yeah, I apologize. I approve.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for clarifying that you can go on. So we're up to 6, or where are we now?
Yes, you go up to the conversation floor. Sure, Dr. John Walker, York. And concern your presence.
Item 6 is review and consideration of the application for licensure. So A23012A, Dr. Sean York. First of all, are you defending the state?
Yes, that's correct. Applicant John York on the licensure for issuing the case out proceeding information of the applicant. A formal reprimand, disciplinary action from the Virginia Board of Medicine in January 2020. And this issue has issued 6 medical not practice settlements for veterans. As far as this proof, a clinical proof is all under investigation in the St. Francis Clinical Center in 2015. But you were previously part of the legislature and was prior to complete a peace evaluation prior to the board reviewing the application. Through the timing of the stream, we have to schedule the evaluation and we're by a time frame and the application is closed. The applicant reapplied for licensure and began the right to evaluation. Dr. York has completed the required case evaluation and received a pass with recommendations category 2. Case recommendations Dr. York seen in the following areas to improve patient outcomes. Patient communication, patient examination, assessing and managing patients' chronic pain,
diagnosis and treatment of metastatic and bone, primary openings, abdomen fractures, and orthopedic trauma, screw and tough placement and hip arthroplasty. These hours would be in addition to those required for removal. Dr. York, through his attorney, requested centering of the licensure to include the 2-year probationary period, and Dr. York, who received the $45 experience. The considering has been provided to Dr. York and his attorney. They have expressed their interest in signing the agreement. So at this time, we're asking for the board to consider either denying licensure in accordance with NRS 32.8.2.6.7 and 32.8.2.4.6.18 and 39, or to accept the proposed consideration of the licensure.
Thank you very much. Is that sure we need to sign up for the after?
No.
Dr. York, would you like to introduce your counsel?
Yeah, it's Robert Milligan.
Thank you very much. Dr. York, do you have anything to say before we move forward?
Yeah, I have a short presentation. Would now be a good time? Okay. Thank you. President Matem, members of the board, thank you for this opportunity to speak to you today. I would also like to thank Mr. Bohill and Ms. Dominic for their assistance in this process. I would like to discuss a few points relating to my application and then answer any questions you may have. First, I am certified by the American Board of Orthopedic Surgery through the AOA. I have 24-plus years of experience. I have maintained that certification by taking and passing the ABOS longitudinal assessment each year for the past 3 years. Why do I want to come back to Arizona? Well, I would like to start by telling you that my wife and I both grew up in Arizona, and we have our roots here or there. We left Arizona primarily for schooling for our children, but we have always planned to return here. If I am granted a license, our plan is for me to practice here until I retire. Excuse me. So I'm sure that you have seen my malpractice claims history, and it may raise some questions about my application, so I would like to discuss that. I have learned valuable lessons from each of the cases and have taken those lessons to heart. For example, all but two of the cases involved spine surgery. Although I had good training in spine surgery and felt comfortable doing it, I have decided that spine surgery should only be done by fellowship-trained spine surgeons. As a result, I stopped doing spine surgery in 2015. If I'm allowed to practice in Arizona, my plan is to work with the Banner Medical Group in a setting with many other orthopedists and multiple subspecialties. I had an employment offer from Banner when I applied for my license, and I have been told that the offer will be available as soon or if I am given a license. If for some reason I don't get an offer from Banner, I will seek employment with another large hospital-based group or private orthopedic practice like Core Group. One reason that I want to practice in a setting like that is it allowed me to focus on the areas of orthopedics that I am most experienced with, most comfortable with, and then I can refer out patients with issues and problems to other colleagues with the appropriate experience. My plan is to limit my practice to general orthopedics, total joint surgery, and level 2 trauma. Let me say a quick comment about the PACE process. I said in my most recent letter to you, I felt that the PACE process and the physicians who performed the assessments were very professional and impressive, and I'm gratified that the physicians all stated that I conform to the standard of care in all aspects of the assessment. I would be happy to answer any questions you have regarding the report. So in conclusion, I would like to thank you again for your time. I can assure you that if granted my license in Arizona, I will take excellent care of my patients and do my best to be a credit to the osteopathic medical community. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Dr. Joseph. Do we have any questions from the board? Do I have a motion?
Thank you very much for that, and that was really wonderful insight into the past history and what you're planning on
going forward. So like I said, Nate will be running under his license with adoption of the new premises.
I'll second. Thank you. We have a motion in a second. Is there any discussion? Any comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Oh, I would ask if you will hold over.
Oh,
absolutely. Go ahead. Oh, thank you very much. Dr. Walker.
Yes.
Mr. Herman.
Aye.
Dr. Shabbat.
Yes.
Dr. Eagle. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Dr. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Everybody okay to move on to item 7? Item 7, consideration of action on proposed agreement for decision for other action. Item A, 0210116A. And Dr. Duncan is currently done that on the
This is the consent agenda item, so the board can take the consent agenda as a whole or request that the state come back to the board for review. We're recommending the non-disciplinary letter.
If everybody's had a chance to review this, it's kind of green, but I guess I mentioned it in the motion, second consent in the book.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any opposed? Do we need a roll call vote for this? Is it wrong? And it's not disciplinary, so all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thanks for what I asked for. Appreciate that. I apologize for the end of that.
Next have the medical students.
Oh, good.
And two more conversions, and I'd like not to do
something. Anybody wants to stand up or just drop here for the just a moment to the sideline?
interested in each other on the campus. How we both can interact and things. Please remember that you can't discuss any of the specifics on the cases that were presented on the agenda and discuss hypotheticals or
Thank you very much, Mr. Bohol. So thank you very much for being here. I'm happy for you that you chose a short agenda. We have been here until 5 or 6 mornings, so with poorly functioning air conditioning. So thank you for being here. I hope you all have a chance to learn something. This is something that obviously is an emotional area. This is to us, unfortunately, for the most part, we consider our careers to be a very important. And most of us identify ourselves as doctors and other people. So I just kind of my soapbox in just a second, so let me get a sense of my soapbox. I just want to give you all a little perspective with you being human beings. You already mentioned that before. Physicians are human beings. Not only do we make mistakes, but honestly, if I took my job to get this seriously, I'm that guy who does 20 plus CDRs a month just because I want to, which is probably why I'm stuck sitting with sleep right now, which is just so awesome. But I'm a lot more than a physician. I'm a husband, I'm a hiker, I'm a medicine in our field, it's my life here. So I just want you all to remember you're in two things, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest profession, and have the greatest opportunity to make impact. So you're still people, and you still have beings beyond your job. So please, I know medical school is difficult, and residency will probably be more difficult. But the good news is being a doctor will be much more difficult. Just keep in mind your foundation. It's from a foundation that's building it up. So I apologize for so soapboxing all that. I'd like to open this session up to some voices before we go to questions here.
So I think, not to mention specific cases, but we've had various cases on substance use, DUIs, that sort of thing. It's very important and pertinent to, every way of life, and also certainly medical students and age and other kind of conditions and decisions that you're making, how it affects you long term. And in the past, we've had several cases that have not gone nearly as smoothly as the one today. I think just wanted to point out that the physician, how proactive that physician was in recognizing the issue and bringing that to attention and certainly get questions about the process and just a good time. Dr. Cross, very good at explaining all of that. So I think that certainly the outcome past cases have not been nearly to that effect. And in this case, I think that with how proactive she was, that we have a much better outcome. And certainly no one wants to be doing those, having DUIs and having it addressed. And so we need to, but certainly if you do make a mistake, acknowledging the mistakes and running in terms of it is a certainly issue then.
Public expertise, but public experience, because We get a little bit involved in our process. I've been a doctor for over 25 years now, so we really appreciate it. Do you have anything to come to that today? You are the team.
Thank you for coming and taking the time off that day to do this. I really appreciate the part of your course that you guys did come to review this. To their point, usually we have more lessons learned for you. But in addition to being a public member, I'm also a drug addict, so I've got a lot of experience with this particular issue that we're discussing, substance abuse. And I have a lot of understanding of how to deal with things correctly. And that was a very long time ago, but before us, sometimes we have people who handle it correctly. That is the way to go. If it's ever an issue, address it quickly and correctly and don't hide it or rationalize it away. Do everything you can to get help.
I really appreciate that. Dr. Walker, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, just a little bit. Good morning. Thank you for being in attendance. I do have a rural family medicine practice, and just my little plug, but I do take medical students, so if anybody's interested in coming down to Wilcox, Arizona, look me up and sign up for a rotation. But one thing that I have found frustrating, not with being a physician or being on the board, just with progress of life and the internet. I think that the common public has high access to ways that they can complain about anybody, anything. And one thing that I have found by being on the board is it just seems to be to the common public almost like a Yelp review. Like, I'm gonna give this doctor a 1-star and oh, I'm also gonna complain to the board. So not to make it light what we do, but the accessibility with the internet, I feel that complaints have increased. And it's frustrating from physicians, but it's our job to protect our job from the board, to protect the public from bad physicians. But also, we're protecting the physicians from a bad public as well. And I enjoy being on the board because I feel that we are doing a very good job from leadership with Mr. Bohill and Dr. Meadham on down, that we can see, you know, it's easy for us to see a true risk, medical, legal risk on a physician's part, but when a physician's being taken advantage of. So I know it's easy to get frustrated, and I know it must be daunting to be in your position at this time, saying, goodness gracious, I'm spending hundreds of thousands of dollars for this education just to, you know, get a bad Yelp review and a bad board complaint. But understand that it's kind of the new norm, and we are educated on this as well, and that's one reason I enjoy being on the board, is just to be able to help the physicians as well. So don't get frustrated. Dr. Meadham's right. It's a great profession. If it wasn't this, if it wasn't the internet, we would be complaining about something else. Any profession has its complaints. Keep a strong chin and move forward, and just know that you're going to do well in your career as long as you maintain your personal ability to stay mentally and physically healthy. And that's all I have to say. Have a great day and good luck.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. I just had to look on the movie, but I got 2 stars. That was really sad. But you went up to 4 stars. It was well reviewed. I've gotten a couple of 5 stars because I'm an excellent PR doctor. That's for making me look that cooperative. Terrible. Mr. Bohill, can you give us just an actual perspective and how the ratio or the number of schedules and the average length of the work is? I know what the details of the exist before, but it's just what I've listed. So the vast majority of the cases are actually dismissed by the executive director. On the agenda today, so the bulk of cases, some of the nuisance or any of the cases that we don't find a violation of the standard of care, get dismissed. And they've adopted a civil letter, additional form as well. And so that's the majority of those cases. Anything that staff sees in the investigative process, that's what we highlight in terms of the form, and that's what it says in the application for investigation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Provon. Dr. Tom, can you take it away? So, you guys discuss that with the medical case I review here, and I think that's small, but it's kind of useless.
I am also a DO, and I have worked here for 25 years. I did practice family medicine for many years, but you have the opportunity to be better physicians than we were, because you're given all the knowledge that has accumulated over the years. And what you have to learn now is significantly more than what we have to learn. But never forget that the most important thing to learn is the baseline. Learning how to do a really good extended school. Learning how to document well. And most importantly, being a really good listener and a good advocate for the patient. Those are things that will keep you out of trouble. In terms of complaints, the most important thing is that, as you can tell, medicine has changed very much over the years. Always be willing to change. Always look for what is going on in your practice now and what, because you've been doing something the same way for many, many years doesn't mean that that's what you should be doing. Sometimes you find that there's policies that you might have that maybe need to change. And instead of fighting it, embrace it. Embrace the change. I had a pharmacy physician that told me never be the first to use a new drug or the last to discard the old. And it's kind of true for everything. As far as what are they talking about, we did have, it's a very short agenda, so that's really lucky because there's a video that we'll get out and we'll have next weekend. But we did have some cases that were really very pertinent to what you need to learn. One of the important ones was the DUI case. And I want you to know that in Arizona, we're very fortunate in that both the medical board and the office of medical board both have what's called a confidential physician program. And this is a program in which physicians can self-report or even be reported by someone else for having a substance problem and receive help to get help. Our main goal is to make sure that physicians are practicing at their optimum and that there's no chance that their substance abuse is going to cause difficulties or problems for patients. It's a program that we have that is not to hide things from the public, but it's an opportunity for people that have a problem to get well without it affecting their license long term. Once you have a being on your license, so to speak, from something like this, it's very significant. It gets reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank, which is exactly what it's described as, or the name describes as. It's national, it's a data bank in which they collect information about problems that have occurred, whether it's your kicked off the hospital staff, if there's board complaints or anything like that can be reported to the data bank. And the data bank is queried by all like boards in all states. It's also queried by insurance companies that might want to put you on a panel. So it's really important that you make sure that that stays clean if at all possible. That's the physician program. If you have someone in that reports to us that they think they may have a difficulty, we'll usually send them for an evaluation. And then what we do here will completely depend on what the evaluator advises us to do. If a physician is unwilling to participate in that program, or if they more or less formed out of the program because they're not compliant, then it would go to a non-confidential program, which of course would be something that would be reported. So, back to DUIs. Really important. I know everybody is young. There's a lot of fun things that you're invited to do. But you would not believe the number of times that we have people that come before the board because they had a DUI in their residence. And it's usually something horrible, like I was actually celebrating that I was graduating from my residency. It's like the worst case scenario. There's no reason for anybody to drive impaired. There's rights there. Make a plan. Make sure that if you're going to be celebrating, that you make a plan for either having a designated driver or you have a ride share. Do not get behind the wheel. I will be coming out to Midwestern next week to talk to the first years. So if anybody wants to sit in on a lecture and talk about, and you guys have probably all heard me, in your first year, but I think you long since forget about that. But reasons, most common reasons to have a board complaint. And while there are lots of news, what we call news complaints, which is, anything from, I had to wait in the waiting room too long to, those kinds of things. I mean, but you can see that the complaints that make it to this level are ones that, generally usually feel that something needs to change. So, you're welcome to come to the board meetings anytime you want. They're open to the public. Listen, you'll learn an awful lot each time. And I'll see you guys next week.
Thanks very much, Dr. Brown. I appreciate that. And if I forget, I usually leave with this, but I would quickly look forward to celebrating that conference and that. But just say again, I addressed this partly during my weekend, the mission of the board is to protect the public by setting educational and business standards for licensure and by reviewing complaints made against officers, patients, interns, and residents to ensure that their contact meets the standards of the profession defined by law. So obviously we take that really seriously. This is not the most awesome job in the world, but it's the way it is. Keep in mind that you're going to be doctors, you're playing sort of forward right now, but do have the work to support your medical board or multiple other patient care and public health. There's so much to do out there to continue to look at. I'd also like to take one more moment to thank our staff. Our staff that is hopefully these board members. We have our legal counsel, we have our administrative and executive team who get all this groundwork done for us and bring a plethora of information for us to go through. So thank you very much to all of our staff members. That being said, it's Saturday, and I don't think it's raining until tomorrow, so you guys should cut loose. I'm going to be back. Oh, I didn't twist them. I know. Go ahead, I apologize. some offensive about that. So does anybody have any questions for any of the board members or board staff? And please ask. This is not something you'll do very often, so if you have any questions at all, please ask. Otherwise, Dr. Shabbat is going to have somebody to ask for questions. Great volunteer. Good afternoon, Shabbat. It's amazing.
You asked one thing you maybe learned today that was just something new that you didn't know before. When I got here, it's Troy.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I had a wonderful experience, and I just want to say thank you, first off. I feel like something I learned today was what was mentioned about the adaptability to change, and especially with having words and actions recorded and written down. It seems like that provides like the best way to protect yourself more than anything you could ever say verbally. Especially when it comes to these meetings, when you have something that was done that you recorded and have written down, it just covers your bases and protects you and makes life a little easier when it comes to situations that you don't plan on bringing you into this situation. So I just found that to be pretty important.
As far as, you know, policies and best practices and just for your own future knowledge, you will have a malpractice jury led attorney. So if you ever have a question, you can always, you can always call up your malpractice attorney and say, you know, what would be the best policy for X, Y, and Z? And they will tell you, if you're going to do this, that, and the other, but the patient is the best course of action legally. And so you can get that advice all the time for an ongoing and, you know, when you're maybe something else and you can say, you know what, I think strategies are doing pretty differently and call them up and see if they have a difference of opinion. But you have access to that certainly as a resident, as a resident.
Perfect.
Anyone else have any?
I don't know if somebody else has got usually we'll have a case about somebody withholding information. I don't think we did today. You guys missed how fun that is. Basically, tell the truth at all times. And if you think something should go on your application, it probably should. The questions are straightforward and can be answered generally pretty easily. So just tell us everything. It's much better that way for everybody. It looks a lot worse if we find out something in our review later, and then we have to meet with you. It's much easier to just disclose. Even if you think you did something bad, just disclose it. That is always much better than us finding out later, because we don't want to meet you like that. So just keep that in mind. You didn't get to see it today. Usually we'll have a case with you like that where, you know, somebody applies somewhere and they reveal the information in one jurisdiction and they don't reveal to us. And of course we find out, and, you know, what's up? Why is that? And usually there are very good reasons for it. So, again, just disclose everything, be open and transparent, and that'll serve you better. Perfect. Dr. Walker, do you have any questions?
No, just good luck to y'all.
Thank you. So, for the students, if you didn't notice, you take a lot of time with you because you matter. Your education matters. What you do when you finish your education matters. You have resources, you both get resources to your school, your friends, your family. So, please use them and go forward and do your thing. Thank you very much and have a good Saturday. Get out and support Frederick.
Thank you.
So, Paul, we move on to item 10A. Go ahead. Governor's office sent a letter to all of the California Department of Order. As a result of the inquiries and
And she asked her mother before, to review our policies, make sure that we're compliant with conflict and interest information of the patient. And also kind of request, big picture, is there a decision making rubric that the board can use to ensure that there's consistency in the issue with our actions? As part of the preliminary fact finding, I contacted several other medical boards trying to gather information on it. Disciplinary rubric existed or what other professionals have them. I was able to gather information from the Association of Marital and State Counselors, the Ohio Medical Board, Oregon State Medical Board, North Carolina, Board of Psychology, Texas Dental, Virginia Board of Medicine, and Washington. All this kind of provide information to the board. Today's discussion is kind of direct staff on where you'd like this to come. How detailed do you want this report? Because it's just a summary of information that you want some, to know historically where you've been, or would you like more something that I have for advice to the Ohio Medical Board, where it provides the potential violation, a maximum and a minimum penalty, if the fine is associated with it, so that you can afford a range of options, if they find a violation, what you would recommend for this. So if that's something that you're interested in, you can direct staff to draft that. We'll put something together and provide support next meeting for the board.
So my thought on that process, and actually your question is yes, it depends that's good enough. So essentially what I'm interested in is what information pull up on our task action. We would have a little bit of youth on board, so the numbers, but it's a quick meeting. But what we really need is that five is a community of action, as well as a framework of recommended for certain violations, the kind of different flexibility than a DUI to multiple outside cases, etc. It's probably recommended for that group, and as well as any other recommendation to this. I would happily put together the meeting of the board members to this, but I would include the information from the study before we get to the planning, to print it off, and the points that can do so.
I have a question. You've compiled as much as you did other place material. Were there none of the leaves that they are or they're not doing commonly practiced?
That was kind of one of my original questions. There is not a rubric that is the only one that I'm aware of, and I wasn't sure how closely it actually works before the technical registration has come over, so I'm happy to jump in and talk to that.
Whenever you need to try it out to get something going, my question is just won't drop here yet. I can see why the government feels like it's doing something, and none of us are doing it. I'm talking to you to do. So,
this argument against the Uber can always be
find institutions that don't realize this.
in this case. I mean, I think if you collect the information, it makes sure that there is maybe not quite as, you know, there's not a standard for specific violations. And I just, and then are we looking at violations by, I assume by the ARS violation? So we're going to cite them in that way. And then some may have more than one, right? So,
right.
But, I mean, I think the initial process of looking at them is probably going to tell us where, which direction we're going to go with it.
And one of the other directors stopping their creation of errors, they're recommending exploring the brick exactly what you're talking about. We found this violation cited at these points. So kind of build the case and get to a particular level. So, and then that's something to document historically why there wouldn't be the brick case.
I appreciate that. I like that. And I think it is a living document, too, because I think we could start this initial framework, and we're going to have to push it out as we go. Yes, we don't have a lot of good sources to go on. I don't think the other things deal with the potential number.
Sounds good.
Thank you. But you want me to have further recommendations for questions on that?
No, thank you.
So that leaves the process out, and appreciate regular updates and what you have. I'll certainly help you to get a now and I'll get it over to you guys in 4 times.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure I appreciate it.
That's everything from 10. We can move on to 11. And you can first turn to reports from the board members.
I have nothing to report. I appreciate that.
Moving on to my report. The Federation of State Medical Boards will be meeting here in April about the end of my attending that conference. So we look forward to providing information about our attendance. I'm meeting with the Federation of State Medical Boards. As part of that conference, I will be attending the Administrators of Medicine Conference, which is an early part of August. It's just for board administrators for 74 and individual medical officer pathways. So we will be working on the information on that. In regards to we are on track to exceed our appropriation, the one that brought in, so we are continuing to meet those goals. As we get through the bulk of our renewal season, that's where we got close to our 100% mark. As far as we are about 75% away through the fiscal year, we're just about a little bit below that on our expenditures. We do have some expenditures that related to our database and the different technology investments before the end of the fiscal year. So we should be right on track to extend our appropriation. In regards to licensing, our average time frame for processing new applications is 6 days. The average time frame for IMLC applications, so when someone comes to us with shape, is 9 days. So we're under our timeline there. Currently, we have 213 applications in process. We received 142 since January, and we approved 74. So we're very busy this time here. Talk to staff, I think we did see 10 or 11 on one day this week. So we're fully processing applications, and we're doing well in that area. In regards to renewals, I just checked the numbers. We are at 2,221 renewals, so we're right on track with conversations renewal. They have the remaining month of April to renew the late fee, otherwise the license will expire at first. But we shouldn't have a sweeping loss in position. Based on this, I believe there's only about 100 or so that have to be difficult. Last item that I have is for the record of assessed complaints. We have 24 since the last meeting. That report is provided packet. And with that, I will defer any questions.
Thank you.
no questions. Then, let's take a moment to say that excellent points you have for being here. I think we're a long way to last, but I should have run to your own people. So the board members, thank you very much. We all have been a very long way in the last few years. I know this is a difficult job. We really appreciate the support.
I just want to second what he's saying, and thank you for serving as president. I know that adds an additional layer of stress and work, and we appreciate that. But to staff, it's really wonderful being in a role where, you know, you serve us something up on a platter and you say, hey, make a decision. And everything we need, and that's wonderful. So thank you for all the work you do. I don't know if the public recognizes it, but that's the only way it works. So thank you.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. I think it's item number 12, but the motion on the floor. Do you have that motion on the floor? Do you have a second? Any further discussions? None. Motion accepted. Thank you very much, Mr. Daniel. Thank you, Dr. Walker.